light can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power. Read and rise higher.
Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Nine, the true story of a band of women who survived the worst of Nazi Germany. By Gwen Strauss is a gripping work of narrative nonfiction that restores agency, voice, and historical presence to women who resisted tyranny. Centered on a small band of female resistors captured by the Nazis, the book follows their imprisonment in the Ravensbrück concentration camp and a brutal subcamp where they were forced into armaments labor, their sabotage and solidarity, and their audacious escape from a death march in 1945. Strauss, a meticulous researcher and gifted storyteller, intertwines archival digging with family memory, since one of the women was her aunt, to reconstruct a story long obscured by silence. The result is both an intimate portrait of friendship under extreme pressure and a sweeping account of the machinery of oppression. Without sentimentality, Strauss shows how courage can be collective, improvisational, and profoundly practical when survival becomes a shared project. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, sisterhood as survival strategy. At the core of the book is the formation of a deliberate sisterhood. The nine women forged a compact built on reciprocity, skills sharing, and mutual accountability that helped them endure starvation, disease, and relentless dehumanization. They pooled rations, rotated watch for the weakest among them, swapped knowledge about factory protocols, and protected one another during selections and interrogations. This was not sentimental bonding, but a tactical approach to survival that scaled from everyday micro-acts to high-stakes decisions. When one faltered, another stepped forward. When one had access to information or a guard's routine, she briefed the group. The book demonstrates how collective care created resilience greater than the sum of individual endurance. Crucially, their bond also shaped their moral compass. They sabotaged without exposing the most vulnerable, and they planned an escape that accounted for the slowest pace, not the fastest. In a system designed to sever ties and atomize prisoners, the women's sisterhood became both shield and strategy, making their eventual escape possible. Secondly, women of the resistance and acts of sabotage. Before their deportation, the women served as couriers, radio operators, recruiters, and organizers in resistance networks across occupied Europe, roles often dismissed as auxiliary, but crucial to clandestine warfare. In the camps and the Haysag armaments factory, this resistance bent, but did not break. They learned to rig small delays, misalign machinery, and subtly damage shell casings so that defects would pass initial checks yet fail later in the production chain. The book details how they calibrated risk, balancing a moral imperative to disrupt Nazi killing power with the lethal consequences of being caught. They used coded gestures, improvised tools, and a deep knowledge of the shop floor to make sabotage look like error. Strauss also highlights the gendered blind spots of their captors, who underestimated women's capacity for technical sabotage and clandestine coordination. This underestimation became an advantage. The Nine reframes resistance not as isolated heroics, but as a continuum of skilled, disciplined actions enabled by trust, observation, and careful timing. Thirdly, inside Ravensbrück and the machinery of oppression, Ravensbrück, the primary women's concentration camp, functioned as a laboratory of systematic dehumanization. Strauss reconstructs the intake process, the stripping of identity through numbers, hair shaving, and uniform issuance, and the relentless regime of roll calls, punishments, and medical abuse. She shows the layered hierarchy: SS overseers, civilian managers, prisoner functionaries, and corporate partners profiting from forced labor. The narrative tracks how rules were weaponized to cultivate terror, how scarcity bred perilous choices, and how gender shaped both exploitation and resistance. The book refuses to abstract suffering, instead grounding the system's cruelty in specific procedures and daily humiliations, while also acknowledging unevenness within the prisoner society. Some capos were predatory, others leveraged limited authority to protect. Strauss uses testimonies, letters, and post-war files to decode bureaucratic euphemisms that masked real violence. By rendering the apparatus in such granular detail, she illuminates how ordinary infrastructures of work, paperwork, and transportation were harnessed to extraordinary evil, and how the women's improvisational ethics navigated, subverted, and sometimes manipulated those same structures. Fourthly, escape from the death march. As the Reich collapsed, the women were driven on a death march, an instrument of erasure intended to kill through exhaustion and conceal evidence. Their escape was not a single dramatic leap, but a choreography of micro-choices, reading guard fatigue, exploiting terrain, and deciding when to split or regroup. They leveraged false identities, scavenged supplies, and navigated a landscape crowded with fleeing civilians, deserters, and advancing armies. Encounters were perilous. Help could be genuine or predatory. The book captures the geography of risk. Villages where betrayal seemed likely, bridges where checkpoints tightened, ravines that offered cover. Communication remained their lifeline, with signals and prearranged rendezvous points ensuring no one was abandoned. Strauss traces their route toward Allied lines, showing how luck, cunning, and solidarity converged at decisive moments. This sequence reads like a thriller, yet retains documentary rigor. It underscores a central claim of the book. Survival under totalitarian collapse is a collective art, dependent on shared judgment and an ethic of not leaving the slowest behind. Lastly, aftermath, memory, and the author's investigation, the women returned to a world eager to move on. Many married, worked, raised families, and cloaked their past in partial silence. Trauma, survivor's guilt, and the complexities of post-war politics shaped what they did and did not say. Strauss, related to one of the nine, undertakes a transnational investigation through archives, military records, and family papers, stitching together testimonies that were once scattered or contradictory. The book probes the reliability of memory, the gaps enforced by shame and fear, and the distortions of official narratives that minimized women's roles. By cross-checking dates, factory rosters, and transport lists, Strauss rebuilds the mosaic of their journey and honors each woman as a full person rather than a symbol. She also interrogates the ethics of telling a story inherited through kinship, what to include, what to protect, how to handle uncertainty. In doing so, The Nine becomes not only a survival chronicle, but also a meditation on remembrance, responsibility, and the labor required to keep history honest. In conclusion, The Nine is essential reading for anyone drawn to World War II history, feminist studies, narrative nonfiction, or stories of moral courage under extreme conditions. Book clubs, educators, and leaders will find rich material for discussion about solidarity, risk, and the ethics of resistance. You should read it because it reframes survival as a collective practice, showing how practical care, skill, and mutual trust can defeat systems designed to isolate and destroy. It benefits your life by illuminating how to build resilient teams, make ethical choices under pressure, and resist dehumanizing structures in any era. Choose this book over others because it provides a rare female-centered perspective backed by rigorous research and vivid storytelling, uniting the pace of a true escape saga with the depth of archival history. Gwen Strauss restores names, faces, and agency, giving us not just what happened, but how nine people worked together to change their odds, and why that knowledge matters now. If you would like to support Gwen Strauss, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.
1 minute can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power, read and rise higher. Nine are tree, better life.